At some point, classrooms will be full again. Kids will be at their desks, teachers will be at theirs, schools may look like they did before the coronavirus, back on track, eventually. In our series that we call Learning Curve, we've been checking in with parents, educators, and students to understand how they are handling schooling during a pandemic. And today, we have a call for patience. It's from Teresa Thayer Snyder. She's the former superintendent of Voorheesville School District in upstate New York. She's retired now, and she joins us. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much.
Your district has been doing both remote and hybrid instruction, like many districts in the country. What are your concerns for when schools return to in-person learning full-time?
I think my biggest concern is that we're going to be very caught up in what we're considering, quote, lost time. And we're going to be working very hard to catch the children up to where we think they should be. And I really fear that, because I really believe that we have to greet them where they are and understand that they haven't stopped growing in this last year of a pandemic. They've been growing, maybe not with traditional school curriculum, but certainly they've been growing and maturing and thinking. And I believe that when we re-enter schools, we need to celebrate that and welcome them back.
Explain to me what you mean by sort of looking at the way that they've grown in other ways, and how do you incorporate that into this traditional learning environment?
I think if we welcome children back and understand that they have a voice and that their voices need to be heard, that we'll learn a great deal about what they've experienced and how they've dealt with the pandemic. And I've had a lot of people tell me, well, that'll work fine with suburban kids or kids who are, you know, all right. But with the kids who are in poverty situations, they're going to be really far behind. And I think that's very unfair, because I believe that children who live in poverty situations have very compelling stories to tell. We give them outlets for expressing themselves. I think we're going to be a lot better off than if we go right back to, oh, my gosh, you know, they have to get back to their worksheets and their workbooks and our standardized testing schema.
Give me an example of what you imagine would be a way to do that.
Well, I'd imagine a lot of project work. And one of the first projects that I would recommend is an arts-based project using multiple media, and create perhaps a quilt or a montage of what their experiences have been, and have that be a touchstone for the rest of my year of going back to it and saying, gee, look what we did, you know, when this happened. Look how we dealt with loss. Many of our children will be coming back having lost people who are very dear to them and very important to them.
You know, obviously, being a former superintendent, that there are benchmarks that children have to meet in this country in order to be considered on track. Those are important benchmarks, not only for educators, but for parents, too. So how does what you're proposing fit into that concept of how school is supposed to proceed?
The benchmarks, I don't worry about that much, because they don't predict future success to me. How a child performs on a given day on a given exam or a given assessment or a benchmark recording doesn't necessarily tell me who they are, or what they think, or how they think.
In some cases, mandated testing has been suspended during the pandemic. Would you continue that suspension? And if so, for how long?
Well, if I had my way, we would be rethinking this, the whole process of testing and the whole methodology, which has been an extremely expensive proposition to begin with. And I'm not certain that it predicts anything at all. I was on some television show on our local station up here in upstate New York with the former commissioner. We had got into a bit of a tussle over that, because he was saying how, you know, the Common Core and the testing, and this was all so important, and it was going to get kids college ready. And my argument is, we don't have any evidence that's making children college ready.
I guess my final question is this, you know, I have a daughter. She has really been struggling throughout this pandemic, as have many children, with social isolation, with fear. What do you hope happens on the other side of this pandemic? What do you hope we understand about the school experience for our children?
I would hope that it would be a place where children would rather be than any place else. I have a 13-year-old granddaughter who was a straight-A student, and in the first quarter, she just plummeted. And I said to her, you know, it isn't normal for an eighth grader to be learning in isolation. And even with all of the drama of middle school that we all remember and we all know very well, that's also a part of human growth and development. And I also think that the curriculum will take care of itself. There are children in many places in the world where curriculum has been interrupted, and yet when they came back to a school setting, they've been fine, they've thrived, and they've managed to achieve. I think that sometimes we underestimate the capacity of the human child.
Teresa Thayer Snyder is the former superintendent of Voorheesville Schools in upstate New York. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for the opportunity to chat.